Well, today's message was something we've had planned for about 5 or 6 weeks because we knew we were leaving in a few days for Israel. And it was even planned before we invited the Exodus Road Group to come up. But it's interesting because every time you guys come here, it opens my eyes to some things. It opens my heart to some things. And a few years ago, we didn't know the Boyettes at all, or the Exodus Road Band, and they didn't know us. But unfortunately, we had people speaking into our ears, telling them what we were all about, telling us what they were all about. And Tony and Leslie, I think you can admit right now that that was all a bunch of hogwash, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Tony doesn't appear to be the kind of guy I can slip one over on. And I hope I'm not the kind of guy that they can slip one over on. We've become friends with them because despite the fact that we still may have some differences, we have far more in common than we do different.
That's right.
And we focus on the things that are important. We both love the scriptures with all our heart. We both love Yahshua as our Savior. We both desire to seek unity amongst the body of believers the way our Messiah spoke about it. And so that is what drives us and brings us together. And we love having you here because there's a lot of people in this walk, and probably many in our own building that come here weekly, that need to truly understand what worship is all about and what that sacrifice of praise is all about. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being our friends and our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
So one of the reasons it's a short message, it's about Passover preparation. And most of you have been through Passover more than once. A lot of you have been through it 20, 30 times. How many have never been through Passover before? Let's say this is the first or the second time you're doing it. Raise your hands if that's you. We got one over here, a couple there, the kids. So we have a few people that are new to Passover, so to speak. And the reason we have to do this teaching is because we let them loose in the internet and they're going to be so screwed up they don't know what to do. They're going to be, you're going to see so many crazy teachings out there. And they all sound good, right? Nobody posts a teaching online and says, wow, that was an awful teaching I just did. Let's post it on YouTube. No, they take their time, they butter it up, they clean it up, they get it looking good. So it's going to deceive you. Today, because Passover is right around the corner, it'll be happening just a few days after we get home, we're going to talk about the physical preparations. Next week, Jim DeTillo is going to be speaking a little bit more about the more important side of it, which is the spiritual preparations before Passover. But Passover begins the holy times of the year. Passover is the very first holy day of the year, and it's the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to talk a little bit about this because Passover is ultra important for God's children. It's a time we remember what happened in Egypt, right? It's a time we remember what Yeshua fulfilled for us, but it's also part of all the feasts, which are prophetic shadow pictures. And although we all seem to know that the spring feasts have been fulfilled, how many people realize that when the Messiah comes back, he may mess with you and do something else on that time of year? We just don't know. We need to be ready and prepared. But we do know these are prophetic shadow pictures, so we want to understand what they are. And they're called feasts. But why are they called feasts? Because in the Hebrew it says they're Moedim. They're a time appointed where the Father comes to meet with us. Now they're feasts because in all of them, except Yom Kippur, we partake in an awful lot of food. Lots of food, right, Tony? They say the Hebrew people know how to party. And I don't really like the word party because of the connotation, but we know how to feast. And that's doing it God's way. Amen? And the feasts, we were just talking about this in my home last night. We gave up 4 pagan holidays and gave 23 awesome, incredible holy days where we can feast and have fun. All right? I think we got the better deal. All right? The reality is, though, sadly, these feasts have lost their significance in the Christian world and in the whole world that claims that they know the God of the Bible. And they're not taught to us. Instead, we were raised with holidays. Okay? And today we're not going to dig into everything that's wrong with the holidays. But I am here to tell you this. There is nowhere, let me put it this way. There is a huge distinction between the holy days and the holidays. Okay? A holiday is something invented by man, and they're not all bad. Okay? Nothing wrong with the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. But the holidays that are rooted in paganism are an abomination to God. So that's one of the reasons we embrace the holy days. Because the holy days are part of his instruction. They're part of his joy for us and what he has for us. The prophetic shadow picture of how he's going to fulfill these days. And it's almost going to be sad we're leaving Jerusalem right before Pesach, Passover. But I purposely chose to do that because I wanted to be here with our family. But one day soon, when Messiah shows up, we will be in Jerusalem all together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about first Shaul's advice to us, the Apostle Paul. And he said in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18, "Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and Torahlessness? For what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Messiah have with Belial? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says Jehovah, and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Jehovah Sevaot." So today in your hearts and minds, we need to be a people that are separated. They don't look like the world. Our world does things one way. We need to be doing things completely different. And by celebrating God's feasts, his instructions, do you realize how set apart you are? Do you realize what a small minutia of the population you are? Very few people attempt to follow the Torah in its fullness. We have a giant amount of people that follow Torah and man-made laws. We have a lot of people that follow just man-made laws. But do you know how many people follow just the Torah? Not very many. You probably notice that as you travel around the country. Certain traditions, nothing wrong with traditions. But when they're taught as law, we start to have a problem. Because then we relive Yeshua's entire ministry. The entire arguments and the fighting he had amongst the religious leaders. He never was arguing with them because they were keeping Torah, or they were keeping the feast, or they were keeping Shabbat, or they were eating unclean, or they were wearing their tzitzits. He was arguing with them because they were teaching as law doctrine of men. So today in your hearts and your minds, we need to be a people that want to follow the laws of God without adding to it and without taking away from it. Which is Deuteronomy 4:2 and 12:32. We're going to focus on Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I'm going to make a promise to you. What little we're going to talk about today, which is only a small amount, is only going to be from the Scriptures. We're not going to talk about any traditions. We're not going to talk about any ideas that men have come up with. In a couple weeks, we're doing a midrash session where we're going to be able to discuss different ideas and how you can train your children up properly. But today I want to talk to you about what does the Scripture say about preparing for Passover? Because we live in a pretty amazing time. Do you realize more people are celebrating Passover today than at any time in history? Any time in the history of the world. We have Jewish people who don't believe in Messiah. We have Jewish people who believe in Messiah. We have Gentiles that aren't sure why they're doing it, but they're doing it. We have people in the Messianic walk that are doing it. And we have people that are of all kinds of persuasions that we don't even know about. But there are more people that are trying to celebrate this. Yes. And although we know it's a covenant meal, if I have a chance to help somebody and steer them towards truth, I'm going to welcome that opportunity. Amen. But I do want to say this. My goal here today is not to tell you how you are to do everything in your households. It's just to share what the Scriptures say, because you're going to have to determine how you do this in your home. And some of you may go a little more extreme. than what the scriptures say. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you may choose to do a little bit less. Hopefully not less than what the scriptures say, but the bottom line is we can't be judging one another because of the different methods we choose to teach our children the ways of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So I want to start with a couple pre-qualifying questions. If somebody missed the Passover in the Bible, in the biblical times, were they stoned to death?
No.
Well, you would think it with some messianic circles today, wouldn't you? Did they keep the Passover in the second month at their home since they missed all the fun with everybody joining in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
They went to Jerusalem anyway. Do the scriptures tell us that we can keep Passover any old place we choose to do so?
No.
No. Scripture is very clear on where and how we keep the Passover, both the instructions and the location. It had to be kept, according to the scripture, in Jerusalem. At the temple is where we went for our sacrifices. So the question is a little bit of a wordplay, but bear with me. Can we keep Passover today in exile? Yes and no. Can we keep it? If you define keep as following the instructions exactly, no. Can we celebrate and honor it and do all that we can keep today? Absolutely. And that's what we're about here today. And that's why I get so frustrated when people argue with me on what we can and can't do. I just say, you know, we're in exile. We're doing everything possible that we can do to honor our Creator. And we're not trying to add to and take anything away. So we may not see it eye to eye on every little detail, but let's agree that personally, I'm just excited to see so many people around the world celebrating this. In diaspora, the Jewish people kept it over a two-day period, just in case. So why are we so hung up if we're celebrating one day off with our brother and sister? You know what it means to me? You don't have to agree with me. What it means to me? Two meals. An extra day of fun. I love when Shavuot is off from our schedule because I get to celebrate it twice. You can fight with me all you want. We are celebrating and remembering Passover. And we are rehearsing it. And we are teaching it to our children because it will be fulfilled in the future. And when it's fulfilled in the future, I have this feeling we are going back to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. And when I get back, the Saturday I get back, we're talking about our identity in Israel. I figure, what better time than for me to come back and finally figure out my full identity in Israel, while I'm in Israel, to come back and teach on that again. So.
Should do a live teaching.
A live teaching? Well, you're really pushing me to the edge here. With you. You want me to do these? Yeah, I know. I need a little more time in the day, and we don't have enough young people. I need six-year-olds to teach me how to use that PowerPoint stuff. We don't have any six-year-olds. They're all like Justin and Laura's kids, like really young, or they're a little bit older, and they don't want to bother with us. So I need the 6- and 7-year-olds for the technology. So as we get ready to dig into what is required of us for Passover, I came across something that I found unique. Because every Torah teacher, and I shared this with Mark Dickerman earlier, and I think James, every Torah teacher I've ever heard has said, Yeshua filled all the spring feasts, and when he comes back, he's fulfilling all the fall feasts. And I bought into it, and I thought, sounds good to me. We know he fulfilled Passover. We know he was in the grave during unleavened bread. We know he fulfilled the reshit offering in heaven. We know he fulfilled Shavuot. But this week, for the first time in 5 years, it dawned on me, the last day of Passover, or Feast of Unleavened Bread, is a high holy day. The final day is a high holy day. And the scriptures don't indicate that anything in particular happened on that day. Now, the reshit offering was offered in the temple, and I believe it was 4 days later, it would be the last day of the holy day at that day and time. It would be the last final high holy day. We don't know of anything. So guess what? It's possible there's some more fulfilling to do in the future. So we come to two conclusions before I dig in, okay? And these are really important. If you get nothing else out of it, take these two things with you, okay? Number one, you don't have everything figured out. Shocker. Number two is more important. No teacher on the planet has everything figured out.
Amen.
Amen.
Even bigger shocker. You'll burst a lot of bubbles, won't you, Tony? Tell them they don't have everything figured out. Somebody tell that to Michael Rood, please. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love him. But he thinks he's got everything figured out. So let's get to the questions. Question, who is allowed to keep the Passover? Biblically, in the scriptures, we're going to read it. Exodus 12:48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Jehovah, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. What this is saying in modern day English is only covenant children keep the Passover. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. It is for covenant people. This is not for, you know, bystanders just go, I hear it's a great meal, let's go eat. This is for covenant children. The sign of the covenant was circumcision. So here in exile, since we can't keep it exactly like the scriptures say, if you want us to prevent uncircumcised people to come to the Passover, that means you are volunteering to be the circumcision checkpoint guard. Okay? Anybody want to raise their hand for that? All right. Just for us, just for House of Scripture. You do what you want your own on. What's that? So, Yahshua stated this. He stated, whoever rejects me rejects the Father. John stated in one of his, I think it was 1 John or 2 John, I think it's 1 John, he stated, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Now, those two statements are pretty bold statements. They come with a lot of gravity when it comes to being a covenant child. So what it's saying in essence is this, but if Yahshua and John are correct, it says those without the Messiah are not really in covenant. Yeah, we know people all over the globe that are celebrating Passover, and it's not my place to judge who is in and out of covenant. Because I think a lot of people who are on the cusp will receive the Messiah when he shows up. They will have their eyes open in the future. Whether they're Gentiles or former Gentiles, known as Messianic believers now, grafted into Israel today, I'm just excited that they're willing to celebrate the Passover and hear the message of hope. Because that is the time we can change people's lives. That's the time where we can share with them truth that they may never hear the rest of the year. Amen? And this is a House of Scripture thing. This is not, we're not teaching this is the way you ought to do it. And we're not teaching that anybody who chooses it differently, to do it differently, is wrong. It's just what we've decided to do. And you know what? I understand fully that we may be wrong in this issue. And when I find out that that's true, we will change how we do things. Now to the meat of it. It's an old Jewish saying that this is the feast without yeast. It's catchy. It's cool, right? Sounds good. Rolls off the tongue. And at first glance, you may agree, but the fact is that most of the newer translations of the Bible use that word yeast when that's not what the original word is. So we're going to dig into this because Exodus 12, we get some instructions on Passover. And let's just see what the Word of God has to say. Exodus 12, starting in verse 15, it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So I'm going to give you some Passover rules that are clear cut. Nobody can argue these. Passover rule number one. We are to eat matzah or unleavened bread. Anybody who decides to eat leavened bread, decides to do things their own way, is cut off from Israel. Don't like it? Take it up with the Creator. Continuing on in verse 16. It says, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done in them, but that which everyone must eat. That only may be prepared by you. So it's basically an instruction. It says, for the feast days you are able to prepare food, but only food you eat that day. It's not time to prepare food for the rest of the week. It's time to prepare so you can actually feast and enjoy this time. Verse 17, so you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your house, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a stranger or a native in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So Passover rule number two that we can take out of this passage of Scripture is that we are to remember where God brought us out of. That's what the Passover is all about. We remember that God rescued our ancestors from Egypt, Mitzrayim. But we also remember that God rescued us from our Mitzrayim, our Egypt, our bondage, our slavery to sin. And your Mitzrayim might look a little different than my Mitzrayim, but it was still bondage. It was not the truth. It was paganism. It was lies that we inherited without knowing where they came from. Verse 19 says, "For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your homes." No leaven. The word for leaven is in Hebrew is seor. Seor is defined by Fawcett's Bible Dictionary as a lump of old dough in high fermentation. So seor is the lump of dough that is used to leaven the next batch of bread. Or it's dough that will rise if you let it sit long enough. Now, do you know why that is? It's because leaven is in the air. Every one of you right now is breathing in leaven. Think about that when you're preparing. This is how the ancients from all cultures around the world made their bread. You let it sit out in the air, it ferments, and it'll eventually rise. And then they pull part of that dough out. They add additional flour and different things to it. I'm not a baker. And it eventually makes a new batch of bread. And then they pull a little piece of that out for the next lump. And it goes on and on and on. Passover is a time about new beginnings. Get rid of the old lump because I'm going to start you fresh. We're to get rid of the seor, the lump. And there's an interesting side note because I know you guys love side notes, right? The Bowdoin Bakery in San Francisco, they've used the same lump, the same seor, since they opened in the 1800s. The longest running business in San Francisco today. And I'm going to read just a brief article that was written about them in 2014. This came out of a news article. What's extra cool about the mother dough, and especially this mother dough, is that part of Bowdoin's original dough has been used in every single loaf of bread made by the company in the last 160 years. It's replenished daily with flour and water, ensuring the survival of the strains of yeast that Isidore Bowdoin captured in the 1800s. True story. Bakery is still there today, serves bread 7 days a week. So it's not the yeast itself that we're trying to get rid of. We want to get rid of the seor. We want to get rid of that which is used to cause things to leaven. So if it does end up being a byproduct of something else, and you're so tempted you can't resist baking bread, by all means, get rid of it. But the Almighty commanded to get rid of the seor. And there's a lot more spiritual implication behind this that you'll hear about next week. Passover rule number three, no leavened bread should be found in your homes. No leavening cakes shall be found. And nothing leavened shall be found in your homes because you're to eat unleavened bread, matzah, all week long. The second part of verse 19 refers to eating which is leavened. It says, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native of the land. And the word for eats what is leavened is a different word. That word is chametz. And the Jewish people in the room know what that means most likely. Chametz simply means that which has already been leavened. That which has already been baked and risen. If you have a loaf of bread that you bought from the store sliced up, that's already been risen. If you bought a cake from the store, it's already been risen. Things that you buy that are already risen are what we're to get rid of. Because even though the Passover of the desert was getting rid of the old seor, we're supposed to get rid of that stuff too. Because we want to start fresh. We want to start the Passover season with a new heart. Paul writes about that, and we'll read it in just a minute. How many people realize there was no baking soda back then? Or did you think there was like 7-Eleven carried baking soda? How many realize there was no packaged yeast, no frozen foods, no bottled beer, no cornflakes, nothing for you to go crazy about back then? What I'm referring to is the people that go through this, and every messianic I've ever met has been through this at one point in their life. Me included. That first year, we were scouring the basement. We had stuff in the basement. We're looking, reading every label, going through everything. And we were clearly out of our minds. Probably threw away $1,000 worth of food. I don't know. My wife was like, I'm all on board, but I think you're crazy. Do what you need to do. The Seor lump and that which is leavened and risen needs to be removed from your homes. God wants our attention here because there's a purpose behind this. How many people realize the instructions of God often come with spiritual purposes as well? He did not want you eating the old leaven. Now, there's also another thing that I have a firm belief in. God never gave instructions to make our life miserable. And that's just a stab in the dark, okay? But I've never found any of the instructions of God so far to be really hard and really difficult. Never woken up in the morning and go, this is just too hard for me. On the contrary, I wake up often and go, wow, this is simple. This is easy. His instructions are easy. But many in the Messianic community will spend 8 weeks. They start sometimes January 1st cleaning their houses out. And they'll throw away thousands of dollars worth of food. Or, some of you will know where I'm going with this, you'll enter into binding contracts to sell your stuff to a Gentile who's already dying anyway. Right? Sell it to him with a little, you know, I can buy it back from you in 8 days, right? I'll give you $10 for storing it for me, right? As long as it's out of my, this stuff will kill me. Here, you have it. We go through the craziest things. Not everybody, but they go through and they clean their couches because some crumbs may have fallen in the cushions. They sand their floors and have them refinished because, you know, when your floors get old, you get them cracks. Everything falls in the cracks of the floors. They sell their toasters because you can't really clean them out. Even if you unplug them and submerge them in water, there's always something that sticks in there. There's no way to get rid of all the crumbs. And you never know when 2 a.m. you just dying for some toaster crumbs. You know what I mean? Really mess with you. But God didn't intend it to be like that. But he doesn't want you to use that as an excuse not to get rid of the stuff that you already know you should be getting rid of. Amen? Use some balance. Passover rule number 4, we do not eat anything leavened, and if we do, we will be cut off or terminated. There's one thing that I remember reading somewhere where somebody told this story, and he said, you know, because when I was early on and just starting to keep the feast, I woke up in the middle of the night and I screamed, oh my God, I remember! There's a box of Pop-Tarts in the back of the pantry. Couldn't sleep the rest of the night. All right. Pop-Tarts are about that thick. You know, maybe they're leavened, maybe they're not. I don't know. But it was never intended to be a nightmare. It was never intended for you to go through and throw out every piece of frozen food. But get rid of the Seor and get rid of the leavened product. And eat matzah. You know matzah tastes good?
Uh-huh, yeah.
First Passover I ever went through. This will be fun. How many Jewish people do we have in the room? Just curious. We have 4 or 5, right? You guys will love this story. I call a Jewish friend of mine in South Florida. I'm like, Dr. Wasserman, you're never going to believe this. I'm celebrating Passover for the first time. He's like, oh, my son, I will teach you, you know, Dr. Brown's, you, all the stuff you can do. He goes, but I'm going to warn you, the matzah is binding. I called him up 8 days later. I said, I'm totally fine. I've been eating this stuff, you know, morning, noon, and night. I have no problems at all. He goes, oy vey, you're lucky. Everybody else, we bind. You know? So maybe I was doing it in the right spirit. I don't know. But one of the most important things about Passover is, can we teach our children how to do it and make it fun? Because I can promise you, Unless they've been born, like you started teaching this when they were right out of the womb, it will be a nightmare if you try to make it a burden for them.
That's right.
Okay? Young people are tough enough to deal with anyway, right? Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. Teach them God's principles. Let them see how much of a joy it can be to be a Hebrew. Instead of being caught up in this culture where we make everything a nightmare. Amen? So, quick recap. Rule number one, eat only matzah for 7 days, unleavened bread. Rule number two, we are to remember that God delivered our ancestors from slavery, and we're to remember he delivered us from slavery.
Amen.
Tell your children about this. We're told that we are to tell our children the story of Passover. Number three, remove the lump, the seor, out of your home so that you're not tempted to make unleavened bread. And number four, if you eat that which is leavened or risen, according to the scriptures, you will be cut off. So a word of warning. If someone wants to go the extra mile and do a little bit more, a little bit extra, or create their own traditions or use some of the traditions that have been created in order to make sure their family and their household is safe, not only should we never say anything about that, we should embrace the fact that at least they're trying to follow God's instructions. We should encourage them. We should be unified one another. We just don't teach traditions as law, but sometimes traditions are a good thing. The Passover Seder itself is a wonderful thing to teach the children to carry this on for the rest of their life. It teaches them the significance, the importance of it spiritually and physically. Teaching your children the significance of God's commands by utilizing games is a great idea. If you're new to this, the Find the Leaven, that's an awesome game. That was created as a tradition, but it's a wonderful tradition. And it makes it fun for the children. Yeshua never commanded anybody for keeping traditions, but he did rebuke people for teaching traditions as law. Amen?
Amen.
Do what you need to do to teach your family the ways of God. We're instructed to share this with our children and our children's children. And I would suggest to you that if you share it to them in love, they're going to want to celebrate this in the future when they grow up, and they're going to continue to teach it to their kids. At the House of Scripture, we don't have it all figured out. I'm one of those teachers that realizes I don't have it all figured out, and I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable in my skin, but I can tell you this, our heart is to learn and study the Scriptures to learn more each day. We want to hear when he whispers in our ear. We want to glean and learn, but we learn from his scriptures and him confirming things in the scriptures. We don't learn from hearing voices that you can't find out there in the world or that other people are sharing. We learn by sticking with what the scriptures say. Shaul Paul stated, "Let us celebrate the feast not with the old leaven nor the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." 1 Corinthians 5:8. Some 30 years. 20 to 30 years after Messiah is gone. Let us celebrate the feasts. Yet the whole world has said they've been done away with. Next week, Jim's going to walk through the spiritual preparations with you. And I highly suggest if you're a regular attender here at the House of Scriptures, come and hear that. Because that part's far more important. It's like Yeshua said, you should have done the more important parts of the law while still doing the little things. We can do all the physical things, and we should do the physical things, but it's more important to get our spiritual lives prepared and ready. As we enter into this Passover season, I think it's important for you to remember most of all that God has delivered you from the sin that was in your life, and he has delivered you from the bondage that was your Egypt. We are no different than the children of Israel who came out of Egypt 3,500 years ago. They were desperately lost, not following the ways of God because they were in bondage. And they needed to reacquaint themselves with the Torah, the covenant. Today, we got people all across this country that say they're in the covenant with the Almighty, but yet they have no idea what the covenant is all about. So this Passover season, I ask that you would all consider rededicating your hearts to the Messiah, rededicating your life and your walk to him. Learn how to walk more like him. In love, in unity, Yeah, we do need to learn some things, but we've got more knowledge than we pretty much need most of the time. Tony, you're absolutely right. If we can't get it into our hearts and learn how to walk it out, it's like, what does the proverb say? Or maybe it's just somebody said, you know, somebody comes to you and needs help and you send them away. I think it's in the Proverbs. You send them away and go, yeah, I'll pray for you, brother. What good does that do for them? It does no good. If you have it in your ability to help them now. Help them today. Walk out what the scriptures say today. I think that this year we need to look forward to the feasts with anticipation. 3 weeks away. Anticipation. Be expecting something. Be expecting something different. Be expecting that this is the year, possibly, the Messiah may come back. We don't know. It could be another 100 years, but it could be this year. Anticipate that he's going to do something new in your heart at this holy time of year. That maybe he's going to change some of the things that you thought were so good that really don't quite line up with his son Yeshua. Maybe he needs to soften some of you. Make you more receptive to your brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
The holy days were something that was completely alien to us just 6 years ago. I had no idea what they were, no concept of what they meant. And 6 years later, the number one thing on my heart is I am grateful that the Father has opened my eyes to his truth. And he's still teaching me. I got a long way to go. And I hope he continues to teach me and share with me until the day I die and go to be with my forefathers. But secretly, I'm hoping that he's coming back soon so we can just go straight to Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So let's close in prayer and we'll move into some announcements. Father, we praise and worship your holy name. Yehovah, creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh. We call upon you as children that have come out of darkness, come out of our Mitzrayim, and are here today to learn your ways. We're here today to share with our brothers and sisters of all different walks of life. We're here today to put in our hearts and put in motion what you will fully do when you do return, when your son returns. Father, as we head to Israel this week, we head with great anticipation to our homeland. In our own way, we're making to Teshuva Aliyah. We are going back to the land that we were promised thousands of years ago. And it's going to be a time I can't even imagine what's going to happen, but I'm going in anticipation. My wife and my mother, Mark and Rhonda, Court and David, Jim, we're all going from this congregation with great anticipation to see what you, the Holy One of Israel, has for us in our land. And Father, especially since we're going to be coming home right before Passover, we want to bring something fresh and something new back here to the congregation. I just pray over these next few weeks you would just prepare everybody's hearts. Humble us, Father. Let us understand we don't have it all figured out. In fact, far from it. We have much to learn. And if we focus on your word, we'll be far ahead of most of the people out there who are looking for the greatest and the latest invention in the teaching world. Father, we just want to humbly come back to the simple things that you commanded and instructed. Humble us. Humble me. Let us come together more often like this in unity, embracing the fullness of your gift to us, the fullness of these feasts, these holy days, and the fullness of your Shabbat, which is a rejoicing time. And I pray you would bless the food that we're going to receive at Oneg. Let our words and our hearts be pleasing unto you. And let us enjoy the rest of this evening. And I'll close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarekaka Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Yair Yehovah b'navalecha v'yihunecha. Yisa Yehovah b'navalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and bring you his peace. Shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Now, I do have just a couple quick announcements, and then we'll break for Onan. And my first announcement was you can leave an offering for the Exodus Road Band in the back in their box. That was totally unnecessary and totally unexpected, but very humbling. Thank you. But at the very least, I pray you would at least stop them and thank them. You know, they come here willingly. They never come here asking for anything. And they are our brothers and sisters. They are friends and family. And so we ask you to let them know that you appreciate them. Amen?
Amen.
And as we had our Rev Shabbat meal last night at home, just my wife and my mom, I lifted up a small glass of wine and I said, next week in Jerusalem. At the feasts, the Jewish people will say at the end of the feast, next year in Jerusalem. And we were so excited to be saying next week in Jerusalem. So with that happening, just a few short days away, I'd be pretty sad if I didn't say this. Thank you to every single person in this congregation that has helped both with financial assistance and with prayer to send us there. When we made the commitment in July, Mark and Rhonda kind of put it in our hearts to want to go to the Congress in Israel. And when we made the commitment to go, we had no idea how we were going to do it. But I wasn't really worried about it because I know how my God operates. And I can honestly say if there's one place that I have really solid faith that comes to things to do with finance, when it's God's plan and when it's something he's in, he never fails us. And so I didn't doubt for a second that it would happen. I just had no idea how it would happen. But the generosity and the outpouring of the different people that have poured into it and the prayers were very humbling. And for that, I just have to say thank you very much. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And we will be leaving everybody's names that are part of our fellowship and that we can think of in Israel floating up to the Father as we pray for all of you,
yes,
both at the Kotel and throughout the land. So don't be too, don't get caught off guard if something good happens while we're gone. You never know. Number two, one other announcement that we do from the pulpit about once every 4 years. One of the families that's been part of the Exodus Road group for a while and has been part of this group for a while is heading back to Missouri. We prayed over them a couple weeks ago and blessed them, but they've come across an unexpected circumstance where the new house isn't ready and their old house they have to get out of. So I made an executive decision. The House of Scriptures is going to take care of their housing for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so if anybody wants to help the Smith family out, when you put an offering in there, just put Smith family on it. And 100% of that is going to go to help them take care of not only the housing here while they're waiting for their house out there, but help them get back home again. And I'll deal with the financial committee later that I didn't ask for permission to do that for. If we can't help our fellow brothers and sisters, why are we even bothering to begin with? Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, nobody in this room knew I was going to do that. Not the Smiths, not my wife, nobody. But we are going to take care of that. And we're going to make sure that they are all right for the next few weeks till they can go home to Missouri. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Last thing is Rhonda is starting Hebrew classes after the feast. So Rhonda, you want to share with them what they need to do?
If you're going to take my class, this is the book I'm using. If you need to look at it,
You can look at this one. But I need everybody today to give me your email address because I need to send you some information and a couple of links. Link to the book and then a YouTube video.
Okay. So if you are interested in taking a Hebrew class, please see Rhonda and make sure she has your contact information. That'll be right after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after Oneg tonight, we're going to do some more dancing. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. What time does the Hebrew class start?
I don't know. We haven't set that yet, have we? Do you know when?
I'm not sure exactly. It'll be a 1 hour in length, and it'll be probably either 1:15 to 2:15 or 1:30 to 2:30, somewhere in there.
Okay.
On Shabbat?
Yes. On Shabbat.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So.
Every Shabbat?
I think so. Yeah.
Just about every Shabbat. Yep. All right. So as we get ready to head to Oneg, we've got to ask you two favors. Men, we need some help setting up the tables. But families, please take your children with you as you go through the line. It'll just make it easier. And let's do two things. Let's take a smaller portion the first time around. After everybody's eaten, you're more than welcome to go back and eat as much as you want. But let's let everybody get a chance to go through the line first before we go back and eat, okay? Amen?
Tom, pick up all the articles.
Everybody, if you would pick up all your stuff from your chairs, unfortunately, because we're going to lay out the tables. You can pile them up wherever you can find room up here, but I don't know where that's going to be.